You're listening to the NetMums podcast with me, Wendy Gollidge.
And me, Alison Perry. Coming up on this week's show...
Nothing shifts your mind and your mental state more than physical exercise. So you've just got to find time, you know, really, really prioritise it and know that you're not being selfish. Actually, you're being really kind to yourself and your kids because it has a massive... It's a waterfall effect, doesn't it? It trickles down to the people around you when you are healthy in your mind and body.
Welcome back, everybody, to a brand new series of the Net Mums podcast. Wendy, how are you doing? How's your summer been?
It's been good. I've got all the back to school vibes today. I've sent one back. I don't know about you. I feel like September's a bit like a January. It feels a bit like a kickstart and a reset. And everyone's like, OK, I'm going to do this. I'm going to achieve my goals. In my case, I'm going to clear my inbox after 6 weeks of being interrupted.
Oh, my goodness. That's a dream. My top tip for you, though, and I saw this on an Instagram post the other day, is if it's waited 6 weeks, it can wait a little bit longer. Like, don't put too much pressure on yourself to do it all now, because that can just send you a little bit doolally, can't it?
Well, our guest today has been on the podcast a couple of times, and I suspect he might have a little bit of advice for us on the back to school, new year, not new year vibe.
So new routines, yes. Let's do it. So our guest today is back for a third time, which basically means that he's part of the Net Mums family now. 5 years ago, Joe Wicks united the nation with his PE with Joe, which received over 100 million views online. Now he's on a renewed mission to get children moving. His new animated series, Activate, is backed by the government as part of a new partnership to reach schools and families across the country. Joe, welcome back to the Net Mums podcast.
Hello, thanks for having me back. I can't believe this is the hat trick. How crazy is that?
I know.
Third time lucky.
Thanks for having me back on. It's lovely to chat to you again.
Well, speaking of hat tricks, last time I spoke to you, you had three kids. Now you've got four. So has that upped the chaos level in the Wicks household, or are you and Rosie just taking that in your stride?
It is absolute carnage, you know, and it's I always thought, oh, does it make a difference having one more? But it does, you know, because I've got a three-year-old and a one-year-old, so like they're obviously like still quite dependent on us and stuff. So yeah, it's the toughest job in the world, isn't it? I always say this, like, I love being a parent and I signed up for it and we really are hands-on with it, but it's very difficult, it's very stressful, and it comes with ups and downs. But I just love kids, I love babies, I love like teaching them and being a part of their lives and being present, you know. And it's something that I feel like I really want to achieve in life, beyond business success and whatever, you know. I want to be a good dad. It's one of my like North Stars, and it's the hardest job on earth, to be honest.
It really is. And I always think that each child is so different. Like, you learn more about parenting or even yourself as you parent them. What do you think you've learned in the last year since Dusty came along?
Yeah, they are. You're right. They can be, you know, raised in exactly the same household, the same environment. But yeah, they can be so different in their kind of, you know, their traits and mannerisms and how they react. I think the hardest thing for me is learning patience. I think we talked about this last time. You know, I did grow up in a household that was very confrontational and very, you know, chaotic and kind of like, it was a lot of shouting. So for me, you know, I try my hardest to spend a day, you know, being patient and calm and tolerant, and they're kicking off and fighting and screaming. It drains me so much, you know, because I'm not used to sort of like having to, because nothing else stresses me out more than my kids fighting and stuff, you know, when they're at each other and arguing. And I keep saying to him, like, listen, my job is to be a good dad, and I just need your job is just to help me stay calm. And I think when kids are calm and when you're all chilled out, it's much easier for me as a parent. So yeah, it's different situations, right? It depends if, you know, if you've had a broken sleep, if one of them's sick and you've been up through the night, you know, there's different factors that really play into that, that patience and empathy when they're kicking off. But yeah, I'm learning every day, you know, and some days I get it right. And when I shout, you know, I feel terrible and it sits in me for a while, but I go for a walk, I come back and I always apologize. I acknowledge, like, and I said to him the other day, I said, sometimes I react like a child, I'm a toddler, you know, and I'm mirroring what you're doing, and I'm really sorry, I do that sometimes. But yeah, I think it's good to have that conversation and understand that you're not always going to react really well to certain situations you're in with them.
How do you and Rosie keep yourself aligned when you're in the thick of it? Because it really is sometimes feels impossible to reset, doesn't it? You mentioned going for a walk, but what's your like, okay, I need a minute tactic?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think exercise is the thing that runs through our family, you know, in terms of doing things together. I think, you know, when you're out the house as a family, isn't it just so much easier, right? When you're out and being active, and obviously the weather has a big impact on that. But just finding that time in the morning, I'll do my workout in the morning, sometimes on my own before the kids are up. Then, you know, I might do breakfast and Rosie will pop up and do a workout. Or sometimes we do it together, and then the kids are just sort of running around, you know, in or sometimes, you know, they're in another room watching TV and stuff. But there's always just that time, just because we know how important it is for the stress release, I suppose, you know, from parenting, that exercise really is an amazing thing to do for yourself, but also for the kids. It helps you parent, you know. And so, yeah, I think that's the core thing that runs through our kind of life, but also trying our best to get to bed earlier. We love watching TV, but I'd rather get to bed early, have an extra hour of sleep, than stay up till midnight watching something on TV, because I know
sometimes that's so hard though, because you just want that hour where there's no one demanding anything from you.
Yeah, well, look, I don't forget, I have a situation where like every day is like a summer holiday, because we don't have our kids in school, we homeschool, so there's literally no break, and it really is like, but again, we want the freedom, we want to be homeschooling, we want to be home educating, but when you want to just get them to bed and you start the bedtime routine at 6 and you think, oh, they're going to be asleep by 7, and then 9 o'clock rolls around and you're like, how are these kids not asleep? We've done everything right, we've done bath time, we've done dinner, we've had a healthy meal, I've read you all stories, why are you all still running around on the landing? Like, and then you just think, oh, I give up. Do you know what I mean? Like, we don't get that sort of like 2 hour window, which I would love. I wish my kids were asleep early, but for some reason they're just really fired up, you know. Sometimes the two little ones will go down, and then, you know, Indy and Marley will be up running around, and I don't know, every day is different. It's never the same, is it? It's just constantly like a different challenge every day, really.
On the thing about getting kids outside and, you know, exercising and using exercise in your parenting, I can see the benefits of, you know, when tensions are rising and kids are squabbling, just getting them outdoors. But quite often they don't want to get outdoors. They're just like, no, we want to stay at home. Do you have any tips for moments like that where you know it's the best thing to do, but you're just getting that resistance?
Listen, I know you might think that, like, because I'm the body coach and I love exercise, that my kids are like these little energizer bunnies that jump up and go, oh, let's run around the block, let's go out on our bikes, and let's go scootering in the rain. Like, it's not true. Like, they would much rather sit indoors, you know, watch Disney and Netflix, and they, because they love, like, my kids love watching TV, right? And it's the first thing they ask in the morning, it's the last thing they ask before bed, and some days they get it, other days they don't. Some days they say, let's just do some reading, or let's go in the garden, you know, let's go for a bike ride, or any other activities we can think of, because I don't want them to be so dependent on that as their entertainment, and for them to sort of calm themselves down. But yeah, I do think exercise, whether it's, you know, going to soft play or going to the park, doing something that's completely free, going, you know, we have a little estate where we sort of cycle around on our bikes or on the scooters, and the truth is they don't really want to do it that often, but they always love it at the end, and they always say, oh, can we go around one more time? And this is the same principle with the Activate series. Like, if you stick it on for your kid, they're going to do it and go, oh, that was amazing, can I do another round or do another episode? So sometimes you just got to get them moving, and then it triggers the sort of endorphins in their mind, and it helps them obviously calm down. And then suddenly they will, after a while, start to ask you for these things. They'll say, oh, can we go for a bike ride? Can we get outside? So it is a family effort, right? It's a team effort. But I always say this, and it's a hard message to hear, but as parents, you know, it's our responsibility to keep our kids active. It's not their responsibility. And so we have to be the ones that say, come on, we're going out. Even if I'm in a bad mood or I had a really stressful day and I'm not in the mood for it, I know even 10 minutes just going around the block once really helps settle the house a little bit. And everyone sleeps a little bit better, and it changes the environment, it changes the energy of the house, I think.
Yeah.
So take that advice and add a teenage filter to it. Alison and I have both got kind of 14-year-old girls, and I know lots of our listeners have got older kids as well. And the days of being able to say, come on, let's get on our bikes, it'll be really fun, are gone. How do I get the teenage dirtbag out of her bedroom and outside when she doesn't want to do it?
Do you know what? I'm going to have to come to you for that question when I've got teenagers, because I definitely fear and have a sort of anxiety around the teenage period, because I know it's going to be much harder to help them eat well, to keep them active. I know this, and I remember having a really difficult period with my mum where we just did not get on, and we really clashed, we really banged heads for a long time. And now, you know, she's my best friend and I love her, and we just went to Denmark for the weekend. Like, we spend time together now. So you kind of come full circle with your parents, I think. But, you know, I don't know the answer until I'm in that moment and I can experience that age group with devices and with social networking, and obviously with their friendship groups. I don't quite know. I just think the important thing is to get it in their DNA from the youngest possible age. And that's why I do spend a lot of time and effort working with primary schools and, you know, younger kids, because I think if you can get a child to fall in love with sport or movement or exercise, you've got a much better chance of keeping them active. But the truth is, I go to secondary schools, I walk in, and the jump between year 6 and year 7 is unbelievable. They are so disengaged, so I don't know, self-conscious and just so unimpressed by the fact that I'm there. Whereas you catch them at year six and they're so excited, they're so buzzing to be involved. And the worrying thing is, especially with young girls, there's a real, you know, what's the word? They disengage from fitness around that teenage years when they need it the most, right? When they're, you know, hormonally, emotionally, socially, they need to be looking after their mental health. But unfortunately, they get sucked into social media and being sedentary, and that has an impact on their physical and mental health. So I think you just have to constantly be willing to encourage them from a young age and do fun things. They might not even realise you're doing it. It could be going rock climbing. It could be going to, like, you know, a roller disco one night, you know, and bringing some friends. Like, it's just any kind of movement and engaging them in that, I think, is going to have an impact. But how do you do it? How do you get your teenage girls on a Saturday morning out of bed and doing something?
I mean, you
I
don't.
I make them walk the dog. It's the dog. We've got a dog, and if she wants her allowance for the month, she has to walk the dog. So, you know, I basically pay her.
See, that's good. Tying it into money. I like it. But I have to say, Joe, it's not always the case, I think, that teenagers do disengage with, you know, sport and movement and health. Because my 14-year-old, she, when she was, you know, younger, she had a diet of beige. I couldn't get her to eat anything that was remotely green or, you know, healthy. And she was, you know, on her screens loads and through lockdown on her screens. And now she's the one saying, can we go for a walk in the woods? And she's up making like chia seed water in the morning and omelets and all sorts, like healthy, and I'm just so impressed. And a lot of that has come from social media, so looking at TikTok videos, getting recipe inspiration, the kind of content that you're putting out there, Joe. So I think that, you know, it's not kind of black and white. It is, you know, it is possible to have teenagers who are engaged with this stuff.
Yeah, that's a really positive case, you know, of someone that's using, you know, social media being influenced in a positive way. And I hope that my content, when a teenager comes across my page or a parent, you know, they are inspired by the message I share. I try to be inspiring and positive, and I think that's a good example. But obviously, yeah, like you said, it's every, and you'll have one teenager who loves sport, another one's into gaming and playing chess. You can't control what they're into, but it's just constantly reminding yourself that as a family, you've got to try and engage. And it's not just about the exercise, it's just the, it's the bonding, isn't it? Like when you remember, like sitting reading books with your kids, that like, it's not just the reading, it's the bonding, it's the cuddling, it's the connection. And so when you go out and you maybe have a picnic or you play a bit of rounders, I mean, we did that for my brother's wife's birthday. We just went to the park in Richmond. We played a few games, had a bit of rounders, and that was it. It's like a nice for kids and adults, and it wasn't like an activity or like a fitness class, but everyone had a bit of movement. We got some fresh air, and so it's just little things like that. I think it's just going back to like old school sort of PE and games mentality of like throwing a ball, kicking a ball, getting a frisbee, going for a walk along the river. Like these are all, it's all movement, isn't it? It hasn't got to be organised sport in a gym and a fitness setting.
That's so true. Speaking of Richmond, did I see on your Instagram yesterday that you saw Ted Lasso in Richmond?
Oh yeah, that was my brother actually posted that. He was in Richmond. I was on the phone to him. He goes, oh, I'm walking past Richmond Green and they're filming and I can see Ted Lasso. So he took a photo and shared it. But yeah, they're always filming around there, aren't they? I've not ever watched Ted Lasso. I've never even watched a single episode.
You need to watch it. It is so good. It's the most best feel-good TV ever. But also, I don't think they've confirmed that they're even filming new episodes yet. So
that's quite exciting.
You have.
Yeah, no, I've not heard anyone say a bad thing about it. Everyone seems to really love that show, so I will give it a go. But I don't get much time to watch TV. I wish I had that sort of 8 till 10 p.m. window where I said, right, this is my time to watch a show. But I just feel like the bedtime's getting later and later, and I'm just like, oh, I just want to go to bed.
You're
now.
Quite busy, to be now. Fair. Yeah.
Yeah, fall asleep.
I want to take you back to the homeschooling, actually, because you said, like, every day is like the summer holidays for you because you've got the kids at home all the time. What was the thinking behind that and how is it going?
So what I mean by that is, you know, every day is a learning day. You know, we don't try and recreate school in a sense. And you've got to be quite flexible when you've got four kids. You know, some days you feel like you do loads of learning, feel really great. And other days you think, oh, I haven't done as much. But, you know, it's basically a choice really around freedom, obviously, to travel, which we love. It's one of the things I love. It's something integral to our life and having that freedom to sort of take opportunities where it might be work or business or something. But really just I just know, and you might agree with this, that time, you know, just goes in the blink of an eye, right? And so I just want to be with them. I just want to spend time, and I want to be around them. I want to play with them, and I want to teach them and be an educator and be a big inspiration to them. And, you know, I'm not saying they'll never go to school, but at the moment, you know, Indy's only 7 and Marley's 5. We've just decided to give it a go. And it's, like I said, it's really challenging because some days you sit and you have a really great day, you really get some productive work, and the other days the babies are kicking off, they're not in the mood for it. But I suppose because every day is a learning day, we don't have weekends and summer holidays. We're constantly learning and constantly trying different things. And yeah, you know, the difficulty is like they don't respect us as teachers. You know what I mean? We're not like a teacher and that sort of figure. So it is a push and pull, and it's like you bang heads a little bit. But I also think when you have like a really focused amount of time with one child, you can get so much done in a really short amount of time. So yeah, we're doing it. We're plugged in a little bit to the social sort of the home education sort of community. So there's a couple of groups that meet up around here. We've got Forest School nearby they go to. So socially, they've got loads of groups. They do all like the stagecoach and football and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, I think it's just a different way of doing things, isn't it? And we really love it, but I will never pretend it's easy because it's really not. It's really not easy.
Now, you mentioned banging heads there, and you've spoken before about how important apologies are when it comes to parenting. I think we spoke about it last time you were on. When you do lose your cool, which all parents do, what's your repair ritual with the kids afterwards?
So it's really funny because this actually happened last night. I came in the house, right, and I'd been out all day. I'd been recording voiceovers for the next series of Activate. And I came in the house, I turned my phone off, and I was like, I'm going to be a present dad, because I have this sort of rule that between 6 and 8 p.m., I turn my phone off, and I have a reminder that sets an alarm that says, I am a phone-free dad. Yeah, so at 6 p.m., it reminds me, and sometimes I ignore it, and I just can't. I have to push through and work. Other times, I turn it off, and I walked in, and I was like, I'm going to be a good dad. I'm going to be present. I'm going to be calm. And I took Lenny out, and I took her in the front garden to learn how to ride, and she was already pissed off because she wanted a slice of peanut butter and toast. And I was like, look, you just had dinner. Can we just go outside for a bit? And so she weren't in the right mood. And then basically got outside, and she was kicking off, and I was just really, really trying to be patient. And in the end, I just like, you know, I shouted and I stormed off, and I went for a walk. And I came back, and I was thinking, you know, why did I react that way? And it was because, you know, I'm trying to get her to do something I want her to do, but in that moment, she just didn't want to be learning to ride a bike. And I'm like, but I'm being a good dad. I'm trying to help you. I'm going to help you break through, and you're going to be riding a bike. This is amazing. I'm being a good dad right now. And you know, it wasn't like an instant thing. It took a few minutes, but I really find I go from super calm to super stressed. There's no curve for me. Do you know what I mean? And I'm trying to work on that because I don't want to be a shouty dad. And I felt so bad. I walked for like 20 minutes. I came back and I walked in and I said to India, Marley and Rosie and all of them, I said, I'm really sorry I reacted that way. It's really silly. I was just trying to, you know, when something's not going your way, you revert back to that toddler. It's like I had a tantrum basically. And that's the behavior I'm trying to, you know, not encourage and promote. But sometimes this is what I learned, you know, you mirror them and you throw back what they're doing to you. And anyway, I acknowledged it and I apologized, and they were like, oh, don't worry, Dad, it's okay. And I just hope that next time I don't do that. And I just say, okay, darling, we'll do it later. We'll do it tomorrow. But in that moment, I just really, really wanted to teach her to ride a bike. And that's an error on my part, really. And I should have been more, you know, sympathetic. But yeah, that's an example. So I said sorry, and I went to bed, and I was okay. But if I hadn't come back in and said sorry, I probably would have thought about it and laid up for a few hours.
You said earlier that it's a very different way of bringing up kids to how you were brought up. And you wrote recently on Instagram about what it was like to grow up with your dad, who was in and out of rehab, and your mum suffering from OCD. So if you could go back and tell that toddler Joe, or that young lad Joe, something, what would you tell him?
Yeah, I just think, you know, it's so weird looking back now, because I have conversations with my mum. I was talking to her about the weekend, and she still has a lot of, like, I suppose, guilt and shame around the way she raised me. But I said to her, look at the boys we've become. Look at the men me, Nikki and George have become. Like, whatever you did, right or wrong, we've turned out well. We're good husbands. We're good parents. Like, and so it's that thing of responsibility. I said, the person you were, Mum, when you gave birth to my brother at 17 and my brother and me at 19, like, that person is not you anymore. You've evolved, you know. And it's the same with me. Like, I'm always evolving. Like, I'm going to get better as a parent. I'm going to learn to adapt and change, especially as the teenage years come. Like, you have to constantly challenge your reaction to things. But, you know, I'd say that, you know, it felt normal at the time, but it wasn't. You know, I was living in a really stressful environment. And so it was just shouting was the standard. Shouting and screaming and doors getting slammed and me punching the wall. And I remember Nicky, my brother, he punched a wall, broke his knuckles. I used to throw it. That's just how we engage and interact with each other, you know. So I have to really work hard to not be reactive like that and to really be calm. And when I do that, it's really, really challenging, but it does get easier with time. Do you know what I mean? When you realize I can react differently, I don't always have to do this. And, you know, I don't want to be shouting at my kids. But yeah, I would say, you know, you're going to go on to have lots of kids and they're going to challenge you, but you can parent differently and you can have more empathy and you can be, you know, you can break the cycle, I suppose, of that parenting. But, you know, gentle parenting didn't exist. This is like in the 80s, like all these books we read, all these podcasts, all these Instagrammers, like these conversations were never had, were they? Because back in the day, it's like shout at your kid, smack them on the bum. That's how you do things. Like, but actually we know now from psychology and from speaking to professionals that that's not the way to get, you know, to help children regulate their emotions. And so I just think there's a real shift in that and how we interact with kids. And, you know, I think we're always learning. But as long as you're listening and you're having these conversations, you know you're on the right path. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely. And you've said that finding exercise really saved you at that time when you were a kid. And that now, of course, you want to give that opportunity to as many children as you can. Is that what made you develop Activate, the new kids animation that you've got on your YouTube channel?
I've always said this in interviews, you know, that the exercise and the sport and the PE was like my saviour, because whereas, you know, my mum and dad had drugs and, you know, OCD and anxiety and all these other kind of mental health issues, like, I didn't have that. I had exercise. And so I just knew it soothed me. It calmed me down. I felt so much happier. I felt more positive and I could deal with all that stress that was happening. So this is why, you know, I do think when you get a child, you know, really young children, feeling that and feeling the benefits of movement, then you're onto a really positive thing. Because if you don't have them connecting the dots at a young age and you wait till they're teenagers to try and get them active, it's really, really difficult. Or even in adulthood, it's like virtually impossible. So yeah, the Activate series is a way of like extension of PE with Joe. You know, it's 5-minute animated series on YouTube, and it's going to be on BBC as well. So it's just like a little resource for parents and teachers to use with their children. And you'd be surprised the impact it has on them, because they watch it and they wake up, they jump up, they start moving, they feel great. And at the end of it, they always want to do another episode, which is really lovely, because 5 minutes can become 10 or 15 and they've had a really, you know, active start to the day. So I hope you get to check them out, even if you haven't got the kids that are young. You're still I think you still have fun doing it with them.
I mean, I've got 6-year-old twins.
Oh, wow.
And so we had an episode on yesterday and they were loving it.
Did they just start following along and doing the exercises?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They were totally engaged and doing it and competing with each other as to who could do them better. And yeah, it was brilliant.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I'm so glad they found it. It's really been so well received. I mean, it's had like 2 million views in the past 5 weeks. So I think this will have more impact over time than Pee with Joe. You know, Pee with Joe is in that lockdown moment and it was amazing. But I think for longevity and evergreen content that can be reached, you know, can be used and multiple times through the school day, like all over the world with YouTube and that, I really think it's going to be a huge, huge part of like my legacy, that I've got this content that got millions and millions of children exercising.
It's, for me, it's a trip down memory lane, because you created it with Studio AKA, and they're the people behind Hey Dougie. And Hey Dougie was a very firm fixture in our household. And so it's got like shades of Hey Dougie about it for me. So why was that kind of animation side of things so important to you? Because it is very different to PE with Joe, which is what we all know from lockdown.
Yeah, I'm so glad you like the animation. It's hilarious. I mean, I can't believe I'm an animation and I've got this bouncy hair and it looks so good. It's so well done. And yes, the Studio AK are behind Hey Dougie. And we approached them and said, we've got an idea. I'd love to sort of, I suppose, animate myself to create content for kids to get them moving. And no one's really doing it like to that level. So the key is, you know, technology's there, right? Kids are on screen time. Kids are on YouTube. How can you go to them where they are, where the attention is, and disrupt them? And a lot of people said, oh, you're trying to get kids moving, but then you're creating a cartoon on YouTube. But they don't understand, you have to go where they are. You know, this is where they are. This is where they're going to be. So, you know, it is. It's not passive screen time like watching an episode of a cartoon. It's actually, it's physically getting them up off their chair, off the sofa, moving their bodies. And, you know, you can do it with your kids, you can do it with your parents. It really is, it does what it says, it activates you, you know. And when you do that, the narrative throughout is talking about, oh, I feel really great, you know, how are you feeling, how's your energy, like, how's your mood? It's that kind of just affirmation and that constant reminder that this isn't about our body, it's about our mind. And it's a really beautiful way of delivering that message to young kids. And I've seen 2-year-olds doing it, I've seen parents and grandparents doing their kids, and everyone's saying the same thing. Like, they just love it. It's fun. The music's great. It's really visually engaging. It's stimulating as well. So, yeah, I think it's been really well done.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And you've said that you'd love to see every school using it, even making it compulsory. For teachers or head teachers listening, especially those who might be worried about classroom space or SEND inclusion, what would you say to them?
Well, we've really tried to make it accessible. So it's 5 minutes long from start to finish. And you know, these are exercises you can do on the spot. You don't need a lot of space. They can stay in their school uniforms. And, you know, we know from schools that do, like, the Daily Mile, you know, schools that are more active, that are finding time to be physically active and do exercise and fit sport into their day and prioritize it, they have better, you know, markers of academic learning, behavioral issues, like just energy, like just general mood, and, you know, less anxiety and stress in the classroom. So there's so many benefits to it. And, you know, just give it a go. It could be in the morning. I mean, yeah, I'd love it if every single day they started the school day, they said, right, register up, boom, you're all here. Quick 5 minute activate. And to see the energy that that will push through to the next lesson on learning will be phenomenal. And I'd love to see it compulsory, because why not? It's there, it's cheap, well, it's free, it's completely free, it'll always be free. And there's no equipment, it's just body weight. And it's really a great tool for parents and kids that want to get moving and struggle, especially, like, you know, if you've got children, like you said, with special needs or learning difficulties that struggle to sit still, and they maybe have ADHD or autism. Like, these are really wonderful feedback I'm getting from people that are saying it's really helping their kids in those ways as well, you know.
Is there an ideal time for parents at home to use it? Kind of after dinner, after school, or can it kind of be slotted in anywhere?
Because it's 5 minutes, you know, you can do it any time. I mean, could be in the morning when they're in the pants, you know, waiting for their toast and cereal. Like, could be on lunch, you know, during a lunch break when you've got to take a call, and you just whack it on and put it on the iPad or TV screen, and they're going to, I mean, you really will. They will not just sit there and watch it. They will sit there, they will stand up, and it's like having a little PE teacher in the room, and they'll do their workout. And same with the evening. If you know, my kids are really always fired up in the evening, so I sometimes put one on. I say, right, come and do one before bed. And there's no doubt about it, I do think the exercise helps them sleep, you know, and they get that little bit of energy out of the system and run around and do a little bit of hide and seek, whatever, like, it helps. So yeah, any time of the day. And if you did two a day, great. If you did three a day, but even if you found 5 minutes a day, I think you'd see a real shift in your child's energy and mood and their behaviour, I think.
Now, obviously, you're the body coach online with over 4 million followers on Instagram. But at home, you're just dads. How do you protect, not just that, obviously it's a very important role, but how do you protect your family energy from the big demands of work and social media?
Well, this is the challenge, isn't it? And we always talk about what is the right balance. I think I'm really blessed that I get to be around, because, you know, if I was someone who, unless I was a TV celebrity that had to be filming around the world and doing documentaries and all that sort of stuff, like, be really hard, because one of the things I really value is being present with my family. So because I have a digital business and I can do most of my stuff on an iPhone, essentially, from my house, I get to spend time with them. But it doesn't mean I'm always present. And so for me, having those little boundaries with the phone, like, because I am fully 100% addicted to my phone, okay? I'm addicted to social media. I'm addicted to the reels. I doom scroll. And I have to physically switch it off in order to be present, because the draw and the pull to it is so strong that when I'm on it, you know. And Rosie went away a few weeks ago for a couple of nights, and I had the kids, and I said to her, listen, I'm going to turn the phone off, because when I turn the phone off, I'm so much more present. I don't get as irritable, I don't get as stressed, I don't react, because I think most of the stress and that impatience and intolerance comes from my phone when they're interrupting and stuff. So when I remove it from the situation, I find it just focused on being a parent, just be with them, immerse yourself. And I'm so tired at the end of the day, but it really does help. So I'm having those little moments where I leave the phone, I'll turn it off, and that's helped a lot. But you know, it's never, every day's different. Some days I feel like I've been a great dad, and I've been great, or like a great, I'm either a great dad or a really amazing body coach, like doing DMs and replying to people, and the business is growing and people are signing up to the app and it's amazing. Or I'm being a not so great dad and the business is doing well, or the other way around, like I'm being a great dad, but the business suffers. So it's this constant tightrope, you know, where you're walking, like, I need to work hard to be successful. You need to keep momentum to sustain, you know, the business and grow things and be successful. But I also know that I don't want to be just working and being on my phone for 10 hours a day, like, and looking around and going, oh, my kids are 10 years old and I don't even know me, you know. So it's a daily thing. You have to just go with the flow and don't beat yourself up. You know, we have to provide and we have to work hard for our kids, but we also can put the phone down and be with them and have a little moment with them every day.
I think that will really resonate with parents at the end of the school holidays, because I certainly have felt like there have been days where the work juggle has won, and not so many days where the mum juggle has won. And you do feel bad about it. You're kind of like, oh, okay, I think today I didn't do very well. It's really hard not to beat yourself up.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're bombarded with social media messages, well, from doctors and psychologists, like, you shouldn't say this, you shouldn't say that. Don't say your kids are too beautiful. Don't say they're really clever. Like, don't. It's like, but I want to tell my kids they're beautiful. I want to tell them they're smart. I want to encouraged. I want them to feel amazing. Like, so it's like, am I really damaging them by saying these things? Or, you know, they shouldn't have screen time, but they need it for school. And it's like, there's all these messages. You just feel like constantly, like, what does it take to be a good parent? Like, nutrition, they shouldn't be eating this. Kids should be eating this. Like, you really feel, yeah, it's overwhelming, isn't it, sometimes? But I just think you've got to just keep things simple and just strip it back and remember that you can't do everything perfectly. They're going to make their own choices with some things. But if you just as a family come together and try and eat a healthy meal now and again, or try and, you know, go for a walk and get outside, or do some exercise, or celebrate an early night as a family. Like, come on, guys, we're going to bed early tonight. Let's not stay up till midnight or 11 o'clock. And, you know, these things kind of bring you back to the basics that help you as a family, I think, you know. And I don't know. Listen, I'm not an expert. I'm learning. I've learned from my mum and dad and their mistakes, and I'm learning from my own mistakes. Like I said, like shouting yesterday, like, why? I just wish, I really wish I was, you know, do you know some people you just think are so calm and patient? They don't have that shoutiness in them. They don't have that aggression and that. And I don't know where that comes from, but I really wish I was that, you know.
I think you're too hard on yourself, Joe. I think that, like, you know, like you've just said, you can't be a perfect parent, and you shouldn't strive for perfection. And like you said earlier, you are doing so much to tackle your, you know, feelings of anger and frustration and being shouty. And you went out for a walk last night and you came back and apologized. And that's amazing. And I think you should pat yourself on the back for that rather than beating yourself up over it. That's my view.
Thank you. That's not, thank you. It's just, you just do, don't you? Just think, like, I don't know, I wish I was just naturally, my default setting was just calm and always patient. And some parents probably would never shout at their kids, but I don't know, I just think it's hard. And I've got four kids. It's not, if I had one, I think it'd be so much easier. Like, I chose to have loads of kids. It's my own fault, you know, but, you know, I love them.
There's something to be said for the fact that if they grew up in an environment where nobody ever shouted ever and everybody was really calm, then they wouldn't know what to do as grown-ups in a situation where someone loses their temper, which someone will do. So you're teaching them how to cope with it.
Yeah, I suppose that's right. Who knows? Yeah. But I always say to mum, like, I don't my mum, you know, she kind of doesn't accept some of the things that happened in the past. And I say, mum, I love you now, I loved you then. It's like, it's unconditional in it. And she shouted at me all the time, but it's not like, they're not the memories I hang on to. I remember hang on to the love and the holidays and the campsites. And when she was there, she was always there. Like, even though she was very chaotic and caught up in this sort of cycle, she's an amazing mum. You know, she was an amazing, and I hope she listens to this, because I always say to her, like, she'll be proud of yourself. And I think it's only when I'm older, I reflect on my parenting, but because I'm in the middle of it now, you don't often feel that you're always getting it right, do you?
Yeah, that's so true. Now, people listening are probably feeling like they experience this every day and, you know, they get wound up by their kids, or they're feeling knackered, they're not getting enough sleep. Is there like a daily habit that you think parents could, you know, start doing every day that would lift their day, whether it's a morning thing that would help them set them up for the day, or like you did, you went out for a 20-minute walk last night when things were getting on top of you? What's the top thing that you would recommend doing?
Well, I know I'm a broken record and it's a predictable answer, but exercise, you know, it has to be and it always will be. Because nothing shifts your mind and your mental state more than physical exercise. So, you know, sleep's really important as well. Of course, it's very important. But just getting up and doing that little workout, you know, before they're awake or during your lunch break at work or in the evening, like, you've got to find time for yourself, because it's about self-care. It's about seeing it as a, you know, a stress relief. It's pressure. It releases pressure from your mind. And it does help you interact with your kids differently. Like, on days I don't exercise, I've just got more, like, tension in me, you know, and I just react differently, whereas if I've done my workout and really pushed myself physically, I really do feel like my parenting's a bit smoother and I don't irritate me as much. So yeah, you've just got to find time, you know, really, really prioritize it and know that you're not being selfish. Actually, you're being really kind to yourself and your kids, because it has a waterfall effect, doesn't it? It trickles down to the people around you when you are healthy in your mind and body.
And also, just to add as well, obviously you've got the Activate series for kids, but you've also got hundreds of free workouts that parents can do on your YouTube channel, don't you? And they're completely free.
I'm not very good at PR. I don't plug my own stuff. But yeah, look, I've obviously got my YouTube channel, which I'm so proud of and I love it. And it's completely free. And I've always said I have the business, you know, but the free content's really important to me, because I know so many people are struggling for financial, you know, finances and you know, cost of living and stuff. So I have hundreds and hundreds of amazing workouts that are completely free. I've also then got, you know, the Activate, which is for children. And then I've got my Body Coach app, which is aimed at, you know, more people that are trying to sort of go on that fat loss and sort of physical transformation with the meals and stuff. But, you know, ultimately, it's just about giving as much content out to the world that you can find, whether it's an app, whether it's YouTube, whether it's a child's animation or a cookbook. You know, it's all about, again, driving people to that movement and cooking and keeping themselves healthy, because it's so, life can feel really, really stressful. But if you are focused on those basic things and you're putting good food on the table, you're doing a bit of movement, you know, you can find it a bit easier, even though it's hard. It does feel a bit easier.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Joe, it has been wonderful to chat to you again. Thank you so much for coming back onto the Net Mums podcast to chat to us all. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. Lovely to chat to you. Now, have a lovely day.
Thanks, Joe.